Special thanks to Ms. Cheryl for leading us this morning. I'd like to also thank Ed and Glenda for, I invited them to come and help out. I know this is a style that he plays very easily, so I thought he would be able to help us with it. And thank you, Ed and Glenda. Appreciate that for you. And to all of the Graham, you're still my favorite Graham. All right? That's good. Jonathan gets a chuckle out of that all the time. Let's give the Lord a clap offering this morning for his goodness in our lives. That's awesome. That's good. Well, Cheryl, thank you for some of those oldies. Took me back to ECWH and one of those songs you were singing. I remember going down to Dr. Evie Hill's church in California with Johnny Collins and seeing how they do things. Greater Travelers Rest Baptist Church. You know, you weren't in church, you were in church. It's all good. It's all good. A lot of memories. I had a pastor who was from the States, and so he took us down several times to, you know, just to get exposure, you know. And I remember this one time we went to Compton, California. And so Andrew and I were ministers in training. And so we decided that we were going to go explore Compton, California. And so Pastor Collins was in session someplace, and Andrew and I got in the van, and we got on the freeway and couldn't get off. And so we thought we would do it discreetly where Pastor Collins wouldn't recognize that we had taken off, you know. And so we couldn't get off the freeway. So by the time we got back, session had already started. And so he had that look you give you, you know. He looked at us and he goes, "You two Negroes got lost, didn't you?" Anyway, but some of those songs this morning just brought back some of those memories to me. Now, bless the Lord. Well, this morning, I have a word for you, and I'm hoping to encourage your spirit, encourage your souls, encourage your mind, encourage your heart, and just to encourage you all over. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, where our text is taken from verses 3 to 6, but I'm wondering if we would read verse 1 to 20 for the sake of context this morning. And if there's someone in the congregation who would not mind coming to the microphone and reading, so those listening by way of live streaming could hear the word of the Lord clearly, we would certainly appreciate that. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 to 20 for the context. But our scripture is taken from verses 3 to 6. Thanks, Lorena.
First Samuel 30:1. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and all who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod? Abiathar brought it to him. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. David and the 600 men with him came to the Besor ravine, where some stayed behind. For 200 men were too exhausted to cross the ravine, but David and 400 men continued the pursuit. They found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and food to eat. Part of a cake of pressed figs and two cakes of raisins. He ate and was revived, for he had not eaten any food or drank any water for 3 days and three nights. David asked him, to whom do you belong and where do you come from? He said, I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. We raided the Negev of the Kerethites and the territory belonging to Judah and the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag. David asked him, can you lead me down to this raiding party? He answered, swear to me before God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I will take you down to them. He led David down, and there they were, scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away, except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, this is David's plunder.
All right, this is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. And I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to preach this morning from the subject, everything that was stolen from you, you're about to get it back. Everything that was stolen from you, you're about to get it back. Look at your neighbor eyeball to eyeball and say, neighbor, everything that was stolen from you, you're about to get it back. You get it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the living God. This is a story that always encourages me. And it reminds me, there are several passages of scriptures in the 20 verses that we've just read that always serves as an encouragement for me. And one of them is verses 6, I believe, where it says that, but David found strength in the Lord. And it reminds me of a time when my dad and I had lost his home. People broke in and stole all of his possession, and he was a pastor and a carpenter as well, and all of his tools were gone. And you know, we just walked 4.5 miles in hot sun, and I just checked out the weather in Guyana for you, so you have an idea of what we're talking about. It's about 30 degrees there now, but it feels like 43 with an 89% humidity. So you think of walking in that on hot sand, white sand, and it's reflective. And we did that 4.5 miles, and only to find out that the house we left was broken into, and the one we went to was also broken into. Everything was stolen. And I was exhausted as a kid, but my dad found strength. He strengthened himself and put me on his back. And I can't remember how old I was, probably 8 or 9, and carried me another mile further in to find a neighbor, and got there another mile in, and there was nobody there. So now not only did we walk 4.5 miles plus another mile, we got to walk all of it all the way back out to get public transportation. Up in the Silver Hill area, Pearl is familiar with that. And And so every time I read this scripture, my mind always goes back to how David strengthened himself and found strength. And I always think of my dad, who found the strength. And I couldn't do it, but he found the strength. This morning, I want to encourage you with several nuggets that we have in the text here before us. And I hope that you will take note and make application to your life where you see necessary and or applicable. And so, of course, the story begins with David being greatly distressed. In fact, he went to war and came back in chapter 30, verse 6, where he is greatly distressed. He had just returned from Gath, where King Achish had said to him, "Thou art a good and mighty in the sight, an angel of the Lord." He had said that to him. And this king was praising David. Those praises were ringing in his ears. And David and his men, after return to Ziklag, anxious to be reunited with their wives and children, but they found their city burned to the ground, their homes destroyed, their children and their wives gone. The Amalekites had invaded while they were in Aphek, and they had taken into captivity all that was precious to David and his men. I do want to park on this curb for 1 second and to point out to you that when David left Ziklag, he was not on a mission of his own, but to defend his territory. He was fighting, and he was doing the will of God. But while he was out doing the will of God, the enemy was in his home front, destroying everything that he had worked so hard to preserve and to acquire. I want to tell you that being in the ministry and serving the Lord does not immune you from difficulties and from hardship. In fact, it's a guarantee that you will run into difficulty and hardship. And the enemy, if he doesn't try with you, he's going to try with those whom you love the most. And oftentimes your wives, husbands, and your children. And so you could be involved in doing God's work and run into pain and sorrow and difficulty. So when it comes, it doesn't mean that you ignore it. You ought to expect some of it in some way, shape, or form. And but you also have to be mature as to how you handle it. Because if you handle it incorrectly, you could make matters worse. So we're going to look at David's response to a number of things that is said in the text, and hopefully we can gain some encouragement from what we see. He was doing God's work, but his family was left unprotected. And I believe that it's important for us to do the Lord's work, but also I am at a place in my life where I believe that it's also important that my family and everybody else's family be protected. One of the many conversations my wife and I have been having lately is sometimes feeling unprotected. And of course, I love football, and I illustrated this to you that you can have a good quarterback, but if he doesn't have a good offensive line to protect him, he's going to be eating grass all day on the field. You can have a good quarterback, but if he has nobody to throw the football to, there won't be no Hail Marys in the end zone. You know what I'm talking about. And so all of us need to feel protected. And David's family was unprotected. And if you read the story, you will see that when he goes back out to battle, he corrects that problem. What a horrible day in the life of this anointed man of God. David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept. And the text tells us in verses 4 that they wept until they had no more tears left. The tear ducts had dried up. That's a whole lot of crying. That you cry till you can't cry no more. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. You ever been there, man? You ever been there? You've cried until you have no more tears left. And it's interesting that David, the leader, cried along with his men. And I want to point out that, men, it is not a weakish or a feminine thing for a godly man to shed tears. I'm from a background where we always hear people saying, you know, real men don't cry. But my Bible tells me that King David wept, and the men with him wept until they couldn't cry no more. And I think it will do us some emotional good every once in a while if we had a good snot and ball session. I think a lot of emotions will be released. A lot of pain, pent up frustrations would be released. And I think it would make us all better, because God gave us those emotions so that we can find relief emotionally and spiritually and psychologically. Tears are there for a reason. We move on, Brother Ed, and we notice in our text that the men who were with David wept with him, but they switched on him real quick. And the text says that they rose up in anger, and they were talking amongst themselves of stoning this man who had been going through the same amount of loss that they were going through, who had just led them into battle, had victory in battle, brought them back. And I couldn't help about how selfish people can be sometimes. They were with David, fought, had victory. He came back, his family is gone, their family is gone, but now they're going to turn on their leader in the time that he needed them the most. Oh, glory. They were talking of stoning him. When David realized what was going on, Sister Eleanor, the text said that he got his AK-47 and he was about to mow them down. He got himself some stones and he was going to throw some stones back. The text says that David strengthened himself. And when you are in leadership, you don't have the option of behaving like everybody else. You can't go get stones and talk about throwing stones back at other people. You have to find strength somehow so that you can find a different and a better way to have victory in your situation. Because David knew that he was the anointed king. He was the anointed man of God. The men fighting with him did not have that call on their lives, but he did. And so he understood that he had to stand up and rise up to a different level of accountability. He couldn't get involved in stone throwing. We notice that David, himself torn with grief, no tear left, greatly distressed, but in the midst of his difficulty, in the midst of his sorrow, in the midst of his brokenness, in the midst of his discouragement, he found strength somehow to pick himself up off the ground and begin to change his circumstances. You know, some of us ought to emulate David's example, because we're on the ground and we're in tears. And there's nothing wrong with getting a hand up, but some people are on the ground too much and always looking for somebody to help them up. I think as God's children, it's time for us to find strength in the Lord and to strengthen ourselves and to stop walking without canes and walking without training wheels and find a way to stand on our own two feet and go to God like David did. This is my encouragement for you. And, I can't help but think sometimes what was going through David's mind. If I am the chosen man of God, is this how God treats his chosen servants? Why, if the Spirit of God is upon me and guiding me, why do I have to hide in caves? And if I am the man after God's heart, why do I have to live in the wilderness, hunted like a wild animal? And these are some of the things we see David went through in his life as a king and as a man after God's own heart. Now, after his village is burned down. Ziklag's burned to the ground. All of his prized possession gone. The people that are close to him are gone. David had some options. He could stand there alone, confused, in total despair. But what does a child of God do when discouragement sets in and you feel useless? You feel like a complete failure. You feel like you've been abandoned and rejected by God, who's supposed to be the one that cares the most for you. I came by to tell you, you might feel that way. And it's okay to feel that way. God has given us emotions for a reason. But the fact is, we know what the word says, that God has promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. And it may seem at time that he is absent, but just when you think he's not around, he's more closer than you ever can imagine. He's always there. Well, his beloved wife Abigail and Ahinoam taken from him, parents far away, where could David go for comfort? To whom shall he turn for encouragement? And when, what can we do when we come into this place of crisis? Well, some people have lost hope. Some people become angry. Some people find other people to blame, like the friends and the fighting men that were with David. They wanted to stone and they wanted to kill David because they wanted somebody to blame. And people are always looking for a scapegoat. It's something about people that never take responsibility for their own actions, but constantly blaming somebody else. And I think as children of God, before we begin to blame somebody else and point the finger at others, we need to take a strong, hard look in the mirror before we decide to point fingers at anybody else. And I think that if we did that, we will see things differently. So David could have lashed out in anger, wouldn't have helped. He could have blamed the people around him, couldn't have helped, because he knew that all of these things would be non-productive. And David gets to the place where he recognizes that I have to do something. I have to find strength. I have to pick myself up off of this dust and off of this ground and in this difficult situation. And the text says in verse 6 that David strengthened himself. And I believe that the only way David was able to strengthen himself was because he turned his eyes and he turned his attention towards God. How many of you know that earth has no problems that heaven can solve? That the God that we serve specializes. And if you got a river that you can cross, God specializes. If you got a mountain that you can climb, God specializes. If you got a problem that you can solve, God specializes. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. I've experienced the deliverance and the mighty power of God in my own life. And I know that God specializes. David encourage himself in the Lord. How did David encourage himself in the Lord? If David is to become the man God uses, he must strip himself of everything in him, including his reputation and his reputation, and including his self-will. In other words, David must cry out to his God in tears, and tears out of, not out of self-pity, but tears that are saying to God, God, I am emptying myself of myself. I want to become so empty of me that you can use me to my fullest potential. In other words, he has to become humble and submissive before the Lord. He cannot have his own agenda. If he has his own agenda, his agenda will conflict with God's agenda. But until we as God's children humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, God will not lift us up in due time. And so to strengthen oneself I believe we must come to the place where we say, God, I truly surrender all. Now, that is easier said than done. Because if you've got some issue that you struggle with, you can say, Lord, I surrendered all today. And tomorrow you find yourself going back into the same situation. And then you say, Lord, I surrendered all tomorrow. And then the next day. And I believe that sometimes God allows us to have, I've said before, one or two issues in our lives that keeps us on our knees. Because if those were removed, we would become arrogant. We would become self-righteous. We would become puffed up. And so God has to remind us every now and then that you still need me. You can't do this by yourself. And so he allows circumstances to bring us to our knees where we would cry out for him in help and in brokenness and say to God, I need you, Lord. I can't do this on my own. And so we find in our text that David has to empty himself of himself. And God, if God is going to use him to bring about his purpose, David has to go through hard times. David has to go through loneliness. He has to have a strange leading of the Lord in order for God to use him. Because how many of you know that smooth seas has never created an experienced sailor? When you've been flipped upside down and struggling to get your life jacket and been swallowing water for a long period of time, you get to understand how important it is to come to the place of surrender. So David needs strength. He has suffered loss. And I want to point out here to you that even though his wife and his children did not die, he still suffered loss. And when you suffer loss, you have to go through the grieving process. We have a lot of Christians who are hurting on the inside because they've never grieved over the job that they've lost that they felt they should not have lost. They've never grieved over a relationship. They've never grieved over some of their financial mismanagement. And these things affect us emotionally. So even though it's not dealing with a physical death, it is still loss. And you still have to deal with it. You still have to address it if you're going to remain spiritually healthy. David suffered a loss. Audrey, I don't know if the women of Ziklag were known for their aesthetic beauty. I don't know if the women of Ziklag were known for their curves, lips, and fingertips. I don't know if they were known for as beauty queens, but I do know that when the men of Ziklag returned, they found that everything that they worked so hard for and sacrificed in battle was gone, and it was gone, and it brought them to tears. So it tells me something about the women and the children, not only externally but internally. And when you've lost something that is important to you or misplace it, there has to be a loss. There has to be a grieving. There has to be a mourning. Now, you can all relate to me as we talk about David losing his wife and his children and a job and a car. But you know what? There's some Christians who've lost their joy and they don't grieve over it. They've lost their relationship with the Lord. I'm not saying they're no longer saved. But they've lost their relationship with the Lord, and they're happy in that state. There's no grieving over the fact that I haven't talked to the Lord all week long. There's no grieving the fact that I haven't read my Bible in 6 months. These things ought to bother us. Because we would grieve if we lost a relative. But how much more should we grieve and cry when our relationship with the Lord has also been severed? When relationships with brothers and sisters in the church has been severed, we should be longing to seek reconciliation. Instead, we see many living in the state of disconnectedness, living with bitterness and hatred and resentment, and still think that God is somehow going to bless them in this state. And so David, my brothers and my sisters, when he lost his wives, I did a little bit of research, Ross, and I came up with the idea that the name Ahinoam, David's wife, in the Hebrew means delight, and Abigail means joy. And so when you put the two together, David lost his joy and his delight. And any man who loses his joy and his delight ought to cry. If you lost your joy and your delight and you're not crying, something is wrong. He suffered mentally and he suffered physical strain. He had just come back from war. His body and his mind were tired. His nerves were frayed. He felt on edge. And how many of you know that when you're tired, you're the crankiest? I don't want you to look at the person sitting beside you. Look at your own self. I can even go a step further. When I'm tired and hungry, I'm even more cranky. So my wife, after many years, knows to say, okay, Sion, you need to go to Ivory Foods. Get yourself a nice big fish, some stew fish, and just relax and watch a football game and take it easy. And shortly after that, I'm good to go again. She is a good wife. Ziglag, in this difficult time, had become desolate. The future leaders of this community were gone. Ziglag had become a deserted city. Ziglag had become a city of ashes and ruin. Ziglag had become an empty city. There was nothing there. The Royal Bank of Ziglag was closed. Cineplex Odeon of Ziglag shut down. Burger King out of food. Everything burned to the ground. KFC in Ziglag closed up. Buffet World of Ziglag empty. New Hope Christian Assembly of Ziglag was burned to the ground. Everything had been destroyed. And when you come back to nothing and you have to start over, it's very difficult. Is anybody here knows what it's like to have to start over with nothing? Does anybody here know what it's like to have to start over with nothing? It's not a good feeling, but you can't give up. You have to start over. You have to start over again. And so you can imagine what life was like for these individuals, with David and his men, but they chose to start over again. And David, the Bible says that they didn't have any more power. In the Hebrew word, they'd been drained by their grief. And somebody here knows what it's like to have troubles that drain you. Somebody here knows what it's like to have mental illness. Somebody here knows what it's like to not have enough sleep, and to have a checkbook that drains you, to have trouble that can drain you of your self-worth, and to have trouble that can drain you when you don't think that you can make it another day, to have trouble that make you feel sick without any physical ailment, to have trouble that can drain you and stop you from praying. And David understood this. He suffered mental and physical. He suffered loneliness. His friends seemed in the process of deserting him. These are some of the reasons why David was discouraged and in need of inner strength. I don't know about you, but I love the words of Ron Canole. I've been tested and I've been tried. Satan has attempted to destroy my life. He's accused, he's abused, but after all I've been through, I still have my joy. He goes on and says, friends have left me. They've questioned my faith, but after all, I still have my joy. After all, I still have my faith. And this morning, I want to encourage you, like David, that no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've suffered, hold on to God's unchanging hands. This is the example that I see in the text, and it encourages me, and I hope that it encourages you as well. Point number two, David not only needed strength, but he needed direction. Because you can get up with strength, but if you don't know where you're going, any road can get you there, Joseph. And when you have your strength back, you can do a lot of things out of self and retaliation. So that strength is important, but God also has to give direction. Is there anyone here today who is looking for direction but don't know which path to take? If that's you this morning, I'm asking you to stay put and to listen very carefully, because when David needed direction, the text says that he inquired of the Lord. And if God don't answer, you better not move. He went to God as a source of guidance and direction. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that when you don't know where to turn, you should always turn to God Almighty. And David turned to God and said, God, should I pursue the fighting men? Should I pursue this army? And God said, yes, go ahead and do it. And David said, I don't want to go if you're not going to go with me. I want your blessing. I want your power. I want your protection. And when you move in God's direction, the text tells us that David and his men came upon. Well, let me just back up one second. Sometimes where God wants to take you, everybody can't go. Sometimes where God wants to take you, everybody can't go. When David started out, he started out with how many hundreds of men? All right, how many did he take with him? Because not everybody had the physical strength to make the journey. You can't take everybody with you. You've got to be prepared at some point in time to leave some people behind. At some point, you've got to be prepared to leave some friends behind. At some point in time, you may have to be prepared to leave some family members behind, to leave some so-called brothers and sisters behind, because they cannot go where God wants to take you. But the good news is that wherever God wants to take you, he will provide the power to sustain you once he gets you there. That's the good news. And so David took 400 men. You will think that the bigger the army, the better the chances of success. In the natural mind, that's the way it is. But in God's army, you can do more with less. How many of you know two fish and five barley loaves can feed 5,000? Because less is more once you put it in the hands of God. And so David goes into battle. So I want to say to you today, as you look at your circumstances, and your money might be funny, your change might be strange, but if you put it in God's hands, you can do more with less. You can do more with less. Don't get me wrong. I'm in the natural mind. If I was going into battle, I would want 10,000 troops, because my security would be caught up in the strength of the army. But when God is fighting the battle for you, all you have to do is be ready to fight and show up on the battlefield. And God will fight the battle for you. So let's come back to the church for a little bit. Let's talk about New Hope for a little bit. We say that you can do more with less if God is in it, right? We see that the army of David was reduced from 600 to 400. I believe that even with the size of congregation that we have, we can do a lot more. See, now you're all quiet on me now. You know, we just said in the text that you can do less, you can do more with less. But now when it comes to making it practical, where it involves each and every one of you, now you're backing up on me. Do you know that we can have a more dynamic, spiritually dynamic church with less people than we have here today? Do you believe that? If all of those people were led and in tune by the Spirit of God, we would not have any spiritual issues. Do you know, with even less of us, if we were walking in faithful obedience financially, we wouldn't have an issue? See, it's okay for me to talk about it from the Bible and keep it with David and his men, but when I bring it home where it rubber meets the road, now it's a different story. All right? This is the problem with us, and this is why you need not only preaching that entertains you, but preaching that challenges you. Right? So if you haven't spent time in prayer and that has become a regular habit of yours, Can you see why? And if everyone did the same, why the churches are in the situation that they're in? Okay? If we can find finances to do everything else but take care of God's work, do you see why the church is in the condition that it's in? So we'll leave here today, and you said, Pastor, that was a good message, but is it going to change you on Wednesday? Is it going to change you on Thursday? Is it going to make a difference during the week? And that's what I want to challenge you with. You can do more with less. God reduces David's army, but also he brings him into a former member of David's opposition. And it isn't interesting that, you know, people will follow you if you can give them something to eat and feed them, you know, because, and so it gives you an idea about how the enemy operates, Audrey. Now listen to this. This slave man, listen, this is important. This slave guy, he was with the people who raided Ziklag. But when he became tired, his leaders did not care about him. They left him behind. They didn't care if he lived or died. All right? And that's what the enemy does, God's people. He will use you, and when he can't use you no more, he will drop you like a hot potato. So when you think you're having fun, it'll last for a moment. But when he doesn't have any more use for you, he will throw you away. All right? But here comes the child of God. Picked him up. Gave him some food. Gave him some cake. And once he fed his physical body, he made the commitment to engage with David spiritually and said, now, David, if you don't kill me, I'll give you all the information. People will sell out on you for something to eat. You want somebody to sell out on you, just give them something to eat. Just feed them. And you will get all kinds of information you didn't think you could get. Oh, man. I'm going to skip a lot here. We find that David has led to the place where his wives, children, and all their possessions were. And some of the men, young men, got away on camel. And I was thinking about this, Ed. I'm thinking, I can understand you getting away on a horse. But I'm just thinking out loud. Like, you know, I think it takes a camel a little while to get up to speed. I don't think a camel can get up and go like the way a horse can go. I mean, I think it takes a little. So when they got away on camel, I'm thinking, I could have catched them guys. But the text said they got away on camel, Lawrence. And I was thinking to myself, that wasn't very fast moving. But anyway, but what we see in the text is that David discovered, and with 400 men, he was able to defeat his enemy and recover everything that was taken from him. This is where we get the text. Everything that was stolen from you shall be recovered. God is bringing it back. And the enemy has come and he's raided our lives. He has stolen some of our joy. He has stolen some of our peace. He has stolen some of our happiness. He has stolen some of our children. He has stolen some of our husbands. He has stolen some of our wives. He has stolen some of our internal gratitude. But I came by this morning to tell you that if you find yourself in the situation of David, where you are drained with no strength and no energy, would you turn your eyes to the Lord? Would you turn your ears to the Lord? Would you turn towards heaven and begin to seek God and begin to call upon God? And the text tells us that David recovered everything that was stolen because David needed a plan. And he recovered everything that was stolen behind, including the 200 men who he had left before he went into battle. And David recovers everything that was lost. He finds everything that was lost. His family was unharmed. Livestock and possession were safe. He recovered more than what he had lost, because the text says that the enemies had all the plunder of surrounding nations. And David took all of that back. And so when God is about to bless you, he's going to give you more than you had lost, because he's a God of multiplication, not the God of subtraction. So when you are expecting God to do something to you, don't expect him just to do the bare minimum. Expect him to do more than you can think or imagine, and God will supply all of those needs according to his plans and purposes for your life. Well, I want to tell you this morning that in order to have the victory, David needed to have some fighting men around him. And I want to say it to you, New Hope, if any leader is going to have success, if any leader is going to have victory, he or she needs some people around him who can stand up and fight. New Hope, I want to say to you that if we are going to get to the next level, I desperately need some fighting men around me. I need some fighting men. I can't do it by myself. I'm an okay quarterback, but if I got no protection, I'm on the ground looking for help all the time. And there's nobody to throw the ball to. Who's my receivers? And so like David, the church is no different. If we're going to have victory, we need some fighting men. We understand that some of you are tired and you can't make the journey. That's okay. I told you last week you can stay around and you can pray. But we need some fighting men who can make the journey. Now, I love the ladies. And ladies, I would love to take you into battle, but that is not God's design. I believe God's design is for the men to be called, that the men that are called to stand up and take their rightful places. And so I want to challenge us today, men. Let us take our rightful place in our relationships, in the homes, in the church, so that we can have victory when we have to go and to fight. David must recover his stolen property. He must fight for what is rightfully his. But God's message is clear to David. Don't give up. God's message is clear to us today. I came by to tell you that everything that the enemy took from David was returned to him. Everything that God took, the enemy took from you, God is going to help you to get it back. The enemy may have taken your job, but I came by to tell you that God is going to help you to get it back. He may have taken members of your family, but I came by to tell you that God is on his way, Audrey, of helping you to get them back. He may have taken your joy. Somebody who used to be happy is no longer happy, but I came by to tell you that joy is coming back. Somebody used to have pride, and the enemy took your pride, but I came by to tell you God is going to help you to get your pride back. Your reputation may have been stolen by the enemy, but God is on his way to help you to get your reputation back. Can I get a little bit of help this morning? The devil may have taken some of your friends, but God is on his way to get you some new friends. The enemy might have taken part of your health, but God said that he shall restore you to the fullness of health. David is surrounded by sorrow. David would have been justified in losing his mind. David would have been justified in resigning and moving away from his kingship. David would have been justified in getting high and forgetting all about his troubles. David would have been justified in blaming others, but David encouraged himself. He made himself strong. He strengthened himself. He made himself firm. He strengthened himself. He supported himself. He repaired himself. He took care of himself. He helped himself to get up. He sustained himself. And somebody here today, your troubles have overwhelmed you, but I want you to know today that you don't have to stay in your situation. You may need some encouragement, but you gotta encourage yourself. You don't have to go to Oprah. You don't have to go to Jerry Springer. You don't have to go to Dr. Phil, but I tell you, you can call on Dr. Jesus, and he will make a way out of no way. Somebody here needs to know what I'm talking about. You need to remind yourself that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You ought to remind yourself that there is a calling on my life. You ought to remind yourself that I've been born on purpose. You ought to remind yourself that he that is inside of me is greater than he that is outside of me. You have to remind yourself this morning that God has a plan, a purpose, and a destiny for you. You have to remind yourself that the things that the enemy said are to be forgotten, but hear the promises of God as you move forward and listen to his voice. I know you've suffered loss. I know you've suffered pain. I know you've been through hardship. I know you've cried some midnight tears. I know you don't have a whole lot of joy left. And I know that you're running out of rope, but if you were to hold on to God's unchanging hands, I know that he will. Does anybody know that God will? He will open doors that have been closed in your face. He will make a way out of no way. He will sustain you when you're weak, and he will restore unto you the joy of your salvation. Do you know what I'm talking about today? Have you ever tried him? Have you ever been through some difficulty? I've tried him for myself. I know him to be true. I know him to be yes and amen. I know him to see me through all that has come my way. And I would hold on to God's unchanging hand because he will continue to see us through. My God is able. My God is able. My God is able. And so everything that has been taken from you will be restored. David got his joy and his delight back. He got his family back. He got his friends back. He got Ziglag back. He got his finances back. He got his kids back. Because God was working when David, all he had to do was show up and be present. So I want to say to you, everything that was taken from you will be returned to you. Everything that was taken from you, God is bringing it back. Just hold on to God's unchanging hand and watch God see you through. He's able. That's the kind of God that we serve this morning. That's the kind of God that we serve this morning. That's the kind of God that we serve this morning. Everything. Everything. He's bringing it back. Bring it back, Lord. Restore it, Lord. Restore it. Restore the joy of my salvation. Restore your presence amongst your people. Restore that broken heart. Restore that relationship that's been severed. Restore that marriage, Lord Jesus. Bring it back. Give it back again. Give it back again. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, my allergies are fighting me today, but that's all right. It's all good. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Twyla, would you come to the piano for me for just a few moments? Excuse me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Tell your neighbor everything that was stolen from you, God is about to give it back. Everything, Nicole, everything, he's about to give it back. He's about to give it back. He's about to give it back. If God is about to give it back, then you ought to put your hands in the position of receiving. Stretch your hands out in the position of receiving. God, look over these outstretched arms that are here today in the position of receiving. If you don't want nothing, don't stretch your hands out. But if you want your joy to be restored, if you want your finances, if you want your love life, if you want your marriage, if you want a husband, if you want a wife, stretch your hands out and say, God, I'm ready to receive everything that you have for me. Everything, Lord, everything, everything. Restore it. Restore it, Lord Jesus. You're the same God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And because you did it for David, I know you will do it for us today. This morning, many of your children have lost so much. So much pain. Even under the name of doing ministry. Lost our tenacity, our fervor, and lost our get up and go because we got beat up a little bit. But Lord, this morning, this afternoon, would you restore the strength? Would you restore joy? Would you restore enjoyment? Oh God, we so need it this morning. We so need it. Remember our children, our loved ones, our family. Restore it, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, that you are in the restoration business. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because you're in the restoration business, and everything that's gone south on us, Lord, will be restored this Sunday morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to open the altars today for prayer. Anyone needing prayer for anything? If you're here today and you do not know the Lord as your Savior, would you give him an opportunity to become your Lord and Savior as I pray for you? Would you join me at the altar if this is you? If there's another need that you may have today, let's just make it a matter of prayer so God can restore those things that were taken from you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Miss Cheryl, Eleanor, would you sing that in the background for us? Thank you, Jesus. If there's anything that we can pray for today, would love to pray for you. Something that has been stolen, give God an opportunity to restore it this morning. It's rightfully yours. You need it back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name.